Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
645, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Get Doc Most in here for a quick chunk here, then we'll come back and do the bulk of things. First off, Doc, this bird collision monitor thing, which I don't know if you were listening the last, 20 minutes or so, but some friends had a hummingbird that collided with something, and some bird collision people came out and nursed it back to health.
Wow. How do you get an IV into a hummingbird?
You're the doctor. You tell me.
Well, ask Dave. Dave will know that.
Well, I won't, but I know who would.
The bird collision people?
No, Spike Odell. He's the leading hummingbird expert on this, who's ever been on this station.
I was good so inspired by the story from the Pierces that I've started an organization, Squirrels Without Nuts, and I am providing nuts to squirrels who are nutless. Two, three, four.
Doc?
Hey, do you hear us talking about vertigo?
No. Can I listen to your show?
Well, listen, at some point, you got to turn off the mix. A vertigo conversation. Viv's dad had a vertigo episode on Friday.
Yeah.
Is that common?
Yeah, it's very common. Yeah. Vertigo is extremely common, and I apologize. I listen to you on the way, but then I get in the hospital and I have to turn it off. So I do listen to you.
So many people say they went to the hospital because they were listening. So it's kind of tied in together.
Yeah.
But vertigo, do you have anything to add to the vertigo conversation that you didn't hear about something you ought to be doing? I mean, do you go to a doctor? Do you lay down? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to go to a doctor. Unfortunately, we don't have really great medications for it. We have a medication called Antivert, which is essentially a strong antihistamine that may help. And then we have individuals that we can do certain manipulations of their head and move them in certain directions at certain times, because vertigo is often due to crystals in the inner ear. And if we can get those crystals out, essentially vertigo is your eyes are seeing something, your feet are telling your brain something, and your inner ear, which is the three portions of our balance system, is telling the brain something else. So when it gets differing messages, you get vertigo. So often it is going to be an inner ear problem, and it can be treated fairly easily with some maneuvers, actually.
Yeah, we just had a PT call in and say there's this rolling method of it turned into a rolling pin, and there's a way to reset your head.
That's exactly it, yep.
Okay. Texter says, I was recently diagnosed with fatty liver disease. What's a good diet reference for that?
Well, it's interesting. You know, fatty liver disease, a lot of it is due to alcohol use. So I would definitely try to, if they're using alcohol, try to minimize that as much as they can. And it's not really going to be a dietary thing. But, all of us should be on pretty much a low-fat diet. You know, heart disease is still the number one killer in this country. So decreasing our fat intake is pretty important.
Yeah, and I would say Google fatty liver disease diet. You'll probably get 10,000 hits immediately. All right, so you spent the week at Medina for the BMW. How was that?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was great. It was a great week. It's a very tiring week, but it's a great week. And from all aspects of it, I was very fortunate to take care of some great players who were very nice. I was very fortunate to take care of one of the most humble and gracious NBC cameraman, Terry Hester, that I've ever. And the other thing that's kind of cool about this is you get some friendships that you haven't had for a while. Dr. Henry Dominici is a good friend of mine I did residency with. His wife, Gail, worked at Lutheran General at the same time.
How about that?
And they're members. I hadn't seen him in forever, and they both volunteered. But I'll tell you, the cool story is probably Lucas Glover. If you're golf nuts, and hopefully some of you are listening, Lucas was FedEx 41, so he was looking at this being his last week unless he had a really good week. Well, on Thursday morning, he smashed his finger and ended up with a big, what we call subungual hematoma underneath his finger, which I drained on Thursday. And he goes on to play great the rest of the week, jumps to 29, and he's in the FedEx. And each day I saw him, I ran into him, he would thank me profusely. And then after the tournament was over, he came up and he just said, hey, I just want to let you know you made my week. And I didn't, at the time I was just running around crazy, I didn't realize that he got in. So even if he finishes in last place next week, he wins $400,000.
That's not so bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's took, yeah. Yep.
And you get nothing.
I get nothing.
Other than the satisfaction of knowing that you helped a good guy out.
Oh. And Steve, Terry Hester, NBC cameraman, talk about fascinating. There have been two cameramen at the 15th hole of the Masters in the history of televised Masters. He's one of them.
Come on.
He is the cameraman for the presidential motorcade. He's the cameraman right in front of the president's car. And could not have been a nicer gentleman. And so there were some really just some cool things that happened last week.
I'll bet he's got some good stories.
Yep.
You mentioned to me off the air that the members at Medina who all volunteered to help were great, too. And that was my experience when I was out there.
Oh, yeah. Mark Slaby, great. He was very gracious every day. Like, you know, the membership of Medina should be very proud of not only how the course looked, but how they treated all the patrons and how everybody really just raved about how great the course looked and how nice everyone was that they were treated there.
We will come back in a moment and talk about what?
Let's talk just a little bit about viruses. There's some interesting things going on. Like I say it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some interesting things going on with cancer treatment, but then people need to know what's going on around the world with other viruses.
Virus talk in a moment. Dr. Kevin Most, better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Northwestern Medicine at nm.org/healthbeatnews for tips and research and news and more. Dr. Most, I got a text here. Another exercise you can do for vertigo is a half somersault developed by Dr. Carol Foster, a doctor who's had very severe bouts of vertigo. Google her video. So there you go.
Yeah. Yep. Very similar to the movements we were talking about before that are, again, just to reset those crystals that are in something called the semicircular canal in your ear. So, yeah, very good.
And I don't have vertigo, but a half somersault's all I'm going to do anyway.
Yeah. Why not?
You know, go halfway and just fall over.
Yep.
All right. We know a lot of kid diseases have been stamped out because vaccines work. What's the story with viruses in our body? Where do we get them? Is hand washing enough? Help us.
Yeah. You know, I know we're short on time today, so I'm just going to quickly go over a couple of things. You know, viruses, hand washing is very important. Viruses almost always enter our body through our mouth or through our nose. And what they do is they go in and they find a specific cell that they like. They go inside it and they just start to multiply and wreak havoc. Certain viruses like certain parts of the body. Rhinovirus is a great virus for the upper respiratory tract. You've probably heard of norovirus in the intestines on cruise ships. So they go in, they just wreak havoc, and any time we can stop that from happening, it's great. That's why we've eliminated, polio, essentially.
That's why this whole virus and vaccine discussion is so important in the big picture. But let's go to some specifics here. There are some viruses that do specific things to the body. And if a virus attacks a specific cell, can we teach one to attack a cancer cell?
Yep. How cool is that if you think about it? We talk about cancer treatments, and we've talked about it for a long time. Radiation therapy, chemotherapy, how devastating it is to the body because it attacks healthy cells as well as the cancer cells because that's what we're focusing on. For this, if you think about it, if we could teach a virus, just look for a cancer cell. So right now there's dozens of trials going on. We have them for melanoma. We're actually going to be doing one here at CDH for brain cancer patients. So if you teach that virus to go look for the cancer cell, it goes in, it then attacks the cancer cell essentially. It breaks up the cancer cell. So two things happen. One, it kills the cancer cell. Two, it teaches the body now after that cell's been broken open, teaches the body's own immune system to look for this to decrease the chance of reoccurrence. The beauty of these are, if you think about surgeries where someone, or cancers where someone says, you know what, it's so spread, we can't do surgery, or we can't find all the little pieces that have left. Well, if we can teach a virus to go find those for us, we're going to start to see cancers that were not amenable to surgery still possibly being able to be treated with viral therapy.
That's the good. The bad is there are viruses that can damage you for your entire life, and little kids and babies and older people, certainly, like most things, are more at risk here. But we need vaccinations. We need vaccines. We know that those of you who actually went to medical school and actually do the studies know a little bit more about this than we do. and this nonsense about vaccinations, you know, just needs to stop, and you need to tamp it down wherever you can. But you make it as a, you throw out an analogy here for vaccines, which I think makes it easier to understand. It's like the SAT.
So if you think about it, if you and I are both going to go take the SAT test, which I'm going to call the virus, you and I are going to go take it. I am smart enough to go take the, you know, the pretest. I'm going to go to take the study course before the prep, before the SAT. You decide, hey, you know what? I don't care about it. Doesn't mean anything to me. I can take this test. When we both sit down, I know what to look for. I may not see the exact questions that I saw in the prep test, but I at least know what to look for because I'm the vaccine. You are the person that didn't get vaccinated. You turn the page, you're looking at question one, you have no clue what it is. That's the first you've seen of it.
So you're ready the body.
Exactly. It teaches the body what to look for, you know, and it teaches the body how to fight it. So the vaccine SAT thing is probably one of the more simple analogies to say why it's important.
Do vaccinations cause autism?
No, they do not, and it's unfortunate that we even still have to say that across this country.
And then give me a quick yes and no on these. Do we have one for Ebola?
So it's interesting, in Ebola, yes, we do have a vaccine. When we were building the vaccine in 2014, there was a big outbreak of Ebola. It got tampered down to a point where there weren't enough patients to even test the vaccine. So now we have a big outbreak going on in the Congo, which you probably have heard about. So now we're starting to use up all of this experimental vaccine that we haven't even tested. But I'll tell you a fascinating fact. You're talking about Ebola right now because it's very important. Even worldwide, we're looking at it. About 2,000 deaths, 2,700 deaths from measles in the Congo this year alone.
Wow.
So we're all focusing on Ebola, but more people have died of measles in the Congo than Ebola.
Speaking of Africa, I'll let you go on this, but HIV is still rampant in Africa. We've made tremendous progress here, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, our problem with HIV is the medications that we've been using now, we're starting to see some resistance in Africa. What we would normally do here in the United States is stop using those medications. They have no options, so they're continuing to use those medications, which is going to lead to more resistance. So there's going to have to be a lot more research on how we're going to treat HIV in the future.
And that's part of what Bono and you too and the Red Project have been working on for so long. Anyway, great stuff as always, Doc. We post the notes with your podcast. Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you. It's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.